the newcomers, welcome. You're in the right place. This is the only place that I stopped taking drugs, and more importantly, I've stayed stopped. And every time I do a chair, I literally go into the toilet and put the toilet roll on the floor, get on my knees and pray, and just ask God to help me to do this chair. You know, and while I was in there, I actually got my medallion out, put it in my hand. just grateful, because I just heard literally about 5 minutes ago, well, I got woken up by someone that messaged me that they'd relapsed. So that was my first waking text, was this morning. And, you know, when that happens, it fucking hurts. It fucking hurts. We don't shoot our wounded here, but let me tell you, I've fucking buried a few over the years. You know what I mean? So, and I've just heard that there's another girl, 19, she's OD'd and she's just passed away. Do you know what I mean? So, this is fucking serious stuff. It ain't, do you know what I mean? It's not, you know, I often share, you know, and I say, like, I've got disease. It centres in my head, you know, and its job is to fucking ultimately kill me. So whatever way, you know what I mean, I have a disease, I have a beast inside of me that ultimately wants me dead, you know. And by that I mean dead as in the physicality of dead, but also dead in spirit. It means disconnected, away from you guys, do you know what I mean? Because when I was using, I had none of that. So I just literally went into the toilet and just fucking thank God, you know. And when you have someone that relapses, it's fucking painful, you know. And I had a best mate that went out. She had 17 years clean. She went out there and I didn't see her for a little while. And, you know, now she's back. So it's like, come on. Do you know what I mean? Because the reality is we don't have to fucking use. You know, that's the reality, is we really don't have to use. And so, yeah, I just got in touch with a bit of, you know, fucking got me medallion in my hand, and it's like, come on, girl, fucking, you know, what am I doing here on a fucking Friday night down at the speaker meeting? I'm doing service, and that's what I've always done. Service, I've had a sponsor, I've worked the steps, gone around a few times. I'm not here to tell you what to do, how to do it. I'm not. I'm giving you my experience. And my experience is when I'm working the steps, when I'm doing this stuff, that's when I get freedom. When I'm disciplined, I get freedom. Do you know what I mean? When I'm not, I'm fucked, basically, in a nutshell. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, I've gone around a few times. So, you know, I think the steps is just personal. That's the steps of my personal journey. You know what I mean? And you're all going to get your own as long as you do them. You know what I mean? But you're not going to get well if you don't do them. You know? And that's been my experience as well, where I've gone through periods where I haven't done them. At 10 years clean, I might touch on that later. You know, running around doing what I wanted to do. But anyway, yeah, I just wanted to share a bit of gratitude. And do you know what? This is about fucking, you know, me staying alive. It ain't about me having a drink on a Friday night and fucking, you know, having a dance and thinking I look good. And, you know, where it first started off, the end of my using was crack pipe, suicidal, I want to die. That's where it got me to, you know what I mean? So forget all the fucking stuff before. Anyway, where did I start off? So that's a happy start. I do have a sense of humour, trust me. God bless me with one, thank God, do you know what I mean? So basically, both parents are Italian, you know what I mean? So I grew up in my dad was a gambler, my mum was a chronic fucking codependent, I swear, by the way, and I cry, so I'm not apologising for that. I'm a swearer and a crier. You know, and my dad was like, I'm the governor, you know, and he was like, fucking ruled the roost, and my mum was this chronic codependent. I remember sharing this in a meeting not long ago, and everyone was going, what? You know, and he'd come down, remember before the remote controls, and we had Amazonet, and it was on Listen Green Estate, around near Edgeware Road, and like the flats go downstairs, so he's downstairs in the front room, and my mum's upstairs in the kitchen, and he'd go, Mum, like that. She'd go, yes, what? She goes running downstairs to him, and he goes, turn the telly over. Do you know what I mean? He's like, what? Now I go, what the fuck? Do you know what I mean? And so it's like, that's how I grew up. Like, my dad was the governor, my mum run around, do you know what I mean? Like a fucking headless chicken, do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, jump how high, you know what I mean? But what I'm saying is I was always on eggshells, you know what I mean? It was like my dad, you know, he was a gambler. You knew when he won and you knew when he lost. So basically, he's got the same as us, do you know what I mean? So you knew, you know what I mean, and you knew to keep out of the way when he lost, because you'd get a clip round the ear hole. And so my younger days, and just things like, you know, like no one spoke in my house. No one said, how are you? How are you today? Do you know what I mean? How are you feeling? What does that mean? Feeling, do you know what I mean? It was like fucking bastards, you know, and everyone screamed. You'd be like, fucking hell, you know what I mean? It was like always, constantly, you know, like that. And I had an older brother, and his name was Bruno, and he got bullied at school because he was like, everyone used to bark at him, like, you know, because of his name. And it was me fighting with the boys in the playground. Don't you fucking pick on my brother? Like proper having punch ups in the playgrounds with my, you know, with my brother's friends. You know, and I'd be the one that, you know, jump. It'd be me. I was like the tomboy. I had two brothers, you know. But I always felt different, and I didn't know what it was. I just thought because I was the girl, you know. It wasn't until I come in here really and found out what I really suffered with. You know that. I didn't know what was wrong with me. But anyway, the progression is, you know, I smoked at 11, smoked cigarettes at 11, you know, and we got brought up in a caff over in Euston Station. So there was always food around the indoors as well, like, right, you know, brought up in a caff. So, and my dad was an incredibly good cook. But I just remember all the mixed messages, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you was younger and you was really cold and your mum would put your coat on you and she'd go, you're hot, it's okay, shut up, you know what I mean? And she'd be, and you're going, well, no, I'm actually fucking cold, do you know what I mean? You can't tell her that, you know what I mean? And all these mixed messages growing up and thinking I was wrong, so I used to just shut up, you know, and anyway, went to school, didn't know what was wrong with me, you know, just cut to, you know, the progression is like, we all know what it is, it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse, you know, and I tried everything and anything to get away from myself. I didn't speak English until I was 7 or 8, until I went to school. I only spoke Italian, apparently, and as you can tell, I'm a Cockney now. So, and then I went to school, and then I didn't speak Italian. So what I used to do, my mum and dad used to talk to me in Italian, I used to answer in English, and it's still the same today. They talk to me in Italian, and I answer in English, you know. So, yeah, so I was like, just a bit mixed. And I was, and my dad was an incredible cook, you know what I mean? We used to have things like pheasant and guinea fowl. Fuck's that, do you know what I mean? And my mate, like, who lived along the balcony, like, she used to have, like, you know, just fucking beans on toast and all that. And I used to go, oh, I just wanted to be her. I wanted to be in her ass. I didn't want to be, like, a pumped up fucking guinea fowl bird. I wanted to be beans on toast bird. You know what I mean? So we'd run in each other's houses just to, like, swap. And she'd go, what's this today? And my daddy go, oh, this is guinea fowl with olio, aglio, mine. And, like, you know what I mean? It'd entertain everyone. Do you know what I mean? But I always wanted to be somewhere else. Always, always. Nothing was ever good enough. You know what I mean? And so I was in that the distraction, which I still get today, fantasy distraction, you know, I can be watching the telly, the telly's on, the music's on, the phone's going, do you know what I mean? And because I can't sit with me, do you know what I mean? Still find it hard to sit with me. So as I said, I didn't know what was wrong with me anyway. By the time I got here, I remember just, you know, bumbling through life and not knowing what's wrong with me anyway. I remember getting a job in a pub and meeting these, I remember doing the round of drinks, and I'm standing on the end of the bar, and the governor of the pub used to, because I was the fastest one, used to make me stand there, and all these blokes would be drinking. By the time you sort of finished the round, they'd go round again, so you'd never leave that side of the bar. There was no, like, going over, and there'd be a bloke I fancied over there, and I'd just go over, they'd go, no, call me back this way, do you know what I mean? I'd be like, fucking hell. And I'd stand there all night doing this, and I just remember thinking, they really drink a lot, this lot. Who are they? They really drink a lot. And one of them was my future husband, and I remember meeting him, and a friend of mine that got me the job went, don't you think he's a right laugh, isn't he? Don't you think he's a nice bloke? And I went, I think he's a right flash bastard. Who does he think he is, because he's got a pan mode, you know? And I didn't like him to begin with, and let's just say he charmed me, do you know what I mean? He made me laugh, and he charmed me, and I had a life that, you know, you can look back on that lifestyle, and on the outside, I can feel tearful already thinking about it, do you know what I mean? Because it's almost like that gilded cage, you know what I mean? And on the outside, it was, like, really glamorous, and he was a bank robber, basically, you know what I mean? Part of organised crime in North London, and, you know, and I had this really sort of extra fucking crazy life when I think of it, do you know what I mean? And it'd be 6 holidays a year, and the new car, and the house, and, you know, and champagne and cocaine, and all the rest of it, and So on the outside, everyone began like, oh, you're so lucky. My God, you're so lucky. Do you know what I mean? And I always remember going to get, you know, because you had to look a certain part, you know, and a certain way. And I remember getting my nails done, and this woman was going, you're going on another holiday, you're so lucky you are. And I felt like going, what the fuck do you know, love? Do you know what I mean? And he was really violent, and I mean really violent, you know. And what I used to do, because I'd always see my dad screaming and shouting at my mum, do you know what I mean? How I sort of cope with that was obviously take fucking copious amount of cocaine, do you know what I mean? But I used to think, how I used to logically, trying to, you know, make it logic in my head was, if I can invoke that much emotion in a man, he must love me. Hello, do you know what I mean? What a fucking donut, do you know what I mean? You know, but I knew no different. I just knew no different. There was my dad with the remote control, do you know what I mean? Like my mum. So it was just like, just fucking the patterns, do you know what I mean? And didn't know none of that till I started doing the step work, you know what I mean? My picker was out, fucking well out. You know, anyway, so yeah, on the outside it looked fantastic, really glamorous, blah, 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 you know, and I had two kids, and it's not where I wound up, you know. He went off to prison, he got nicked, he got off to prison, you know, and, you know, I had a personal shoplifter that used to go out and steal my clothes for me, do you know what I mean? And she'd ring up, she'd go, hello, darling, how are you? Really posh bird, hello, darling, how are you? And I go, yeah, I'm all right. And she goes, I'm at the office. Would you like me to pick you anything out? What she meant, she was at Harrods or Harvey Nichols. What can I nick you? You know what I mean? And it was crazy. This life was crazy, you know. And so I got ripped out of this really sort of naive, you know, lifestyle, sort of really suppressed Italian upbringing where I wasn't allowed to do fuck all, and then sort of thrown into this other one where I wasn't allowed to do fuck all. Do you know what I mean? So, but anyway, so he got carted off to prison. He got arrested. And the end of my years, it might seem glamorous, the end of my years, and I remember I had a hair and beauty salon in Islington, and oh, fucking statement. I used to go like that, hello, and my hair be up like that, blood dripping from my nose, hello, come to my salon, look like me, I was in a right state. But no one knew, no one knew, do you know what I mean? Like, my denial was so great, no one definitely knew, do you know what I mean? I was like, hello, like a cockatoo. So, and I had three beds in the back in the beauty, and what I used to put duvets on them, and that was for me to go and have a kip, like when I'd come in the night, like, you know, the next morning. Anyway, so I, you know, going on prison visits, and, you know, I remember running up to Belmarsh, and I'd be on the pipe fucking till about 7 o'clock in the morning, and then going, shit, I've got to have a shower. And just go, you know what I mean? And the amount of times we got stopped by the sniffer dog, okay, no, you ain't coming in, love, like glass, you know. And anyway, and the end of my using, you know what I mean, was literally me on the crack pipe, and it was fucking exhausting because I was trying to juggle this two, you know, this two worlds that didn't, they collided, they didn't, you know what I mean? I couldn't sustain it. I wasn't connected, you know. The end of my using was me alone, on my own, do you know what I mean, indoors, and the paranoia was, like, horrendous. So, you know, the end of me was, like, literally, bottle of sleeping tablets, I can't do this anymore, I've got to go, and ready to take the sleeping tablets, and what happened was, the door opened, my daughter come out of the toilet to go come out of the bedroom to go toilet, and it was just the jolt I needed, that it was like, oh, my God, I can't, this ain't about me, what about the kids? You know, a friend of mine had gone to treatment a year before. She got clean and asked for help, first time in my life, you know. And I've been around a few years, and I always say to my sponsees, ask for help, because I find it so hard. Do you know what I mean? Them three words, I need help. Still, as I say, it's like, you know, you want to pull my tongue out to get it out, I need help. How'd you say that? How'd you do that? You know what I mean? And what I've learned by coming in here is, like, it's okay to cry. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's the most courageous thing I've ever done was my first step four. You know, I remember being in I remember being in a Duncan Terrace meeting and over in the Angel. Anyway, I come in, my friend had took me to my first meeting. It was a women's meeting. I ain't doing women. That, you know, that one. Yeah, I ain't doing fucking women, I ain't got women's meeting. Anyway, I get to a women's meeting and I always share this, and the secretary had a short fringe and a pair of Birkenstocks, and I remember thinking, what? I've got nothing in common with her, who's she? And I remember looking around the room going, don't like her, don't like her, don't like her, she ain't got a Cockney accent, not speaking to her, fuck that one. And what it was, I was absolutely terrified. My fear just ruled me, and still does today if I let it. Do you know what I mean? And I was petrified, I was that scared little girl, but I couldn't show you that because I had to throw them masks out because I'm scared, I'm hurt, I'm vulnerable, but I cannot show you that. Do you know what I mean? And by coming in and doing the work, I've realised that it's complete bullshit. The mask needs to come down. I'm here, as I said, right at the beginning to save my life. You know, and the fact is we've only got one life, you know. So that's where I, you know, started off. This is how I asked my first sponsor. All right, love. She was sharing it at the second meeting, I think, and she spoke about domestic violence, she spoke about being sexually abused. I remember sitting there going, oh, shut up, what was she saying? Turn it in, love, do you know what I mean? But the flip side of the coin was I was going, go on, girl, I like her, she's got balls, go on. And I went back the next week to hear what she had to say, and I asked her, and this is how I asked her, all right, love, you want to sponsor me? And I just nudged her in the ribs. I was so embarrassing, I think of it now. I nudged her in the ribs. All right, love, you want to sponsor me? Would you? She went, yeah, it'd be my honour. And it is an honour. It's an honour to sponsor people. It's an honour for me that someone will listen to me. Because when I'm getting sponsored and when I'm sponsoring, it's about love. If I'm spending my time with you, I'm showing you my love, full stop. Do you know what I mean? And vice versa, you know. So it is about the love and the fellowship. That's what's got me through the last 18 years, you know. And I forget that. On any given day, I forget that. Do you know what I mean? And then when my head kicks off and I start going there into the negative and all the rest of it, I forget all of that. So that's where my journey started. And, you know, and I've had, oh, my God. You know, he come out of prison at 2 years clean, and this program works despite myself sometimes. You know, it's happened so many times. It's like I've been dragged back by the scruff of the neck sometimes, despite myself. You know, 2 years clean. I had to go up. I got his parole for him. You know, he was a double cut A. Yeah, he's coming home. Parole officer, yes, he's coming home. I really love him, and he's coming home to me and the two girls. You know, and all that. When secretly I was packing up the house and I was fucking off. I'm not fucking waiting for him. I'm 2 years clean, you know. Wow. And, you know, the Serenity Prayer means so much for me. The amount of times that Serenity Prayer, I've just hung on to that. The words in that Serenity Prayer, the courage to change. Please, God, help me. Even in the toilet before the chair, please, God, help me. Give me the courage. Please, God, help me, you know. And, so 2 years clean, I went on a prison visit. Someone come with me in recovery. She stayed the night. She come on the visit. I went on the visit and I just remember saying to him, I'm leaving. I'm not your punch bag anymore. I don't drink. I don't take coke. And I'm leaving. And he put his hand in front of his mouth and he just said, I'm coming to iron you out. And you know that, didn't you? And I just took that very, basically, he's coming out to kill me. And I took it very seriously. And he said, I don't care about the kids, I don't care about your mum, I don't care about anyone, I'm coming to fucking iron you out. So I remember leaving that prison, and I'm just thinking, just get away, just get away. So at 2 years clean, 2 days before my daughter's birthday, pure fear, and I just thought, I was petrified. I mean, I was this scared of this man, I'd wet myself, that's how scared I was of him. And he's coming out of prison in 2 days' time, and I'm sitting there, and I'm at the house, and I packed up the whole house, and I literally threw, well, there's not that many women here, but you'll get this, I threw away 92 pairs of shoes. The grieving period was terrible, let me tell you, it took me years to get over the grief over them shoes. Anyway, you know, and I literally left with 2 bin liners, a portable television, and me, and I was absolutely petrified, and that's how I left. But I woke up that morning, and the fear gripped me, and again, that's what I'm saying about the Serenity Prayer. Got up in the morning, and I just thought, I can't go. I'd already spent his money, he's got no money to come home to, and my daughter gave me a card, and in the card it just said, Mum, stay safe. And I knew what she meant. She meant, Mum, go to meetings. Mum, stay clean. And it was just that another little bit of a, come on, you can do this. And then I left, you know, I left him. And, I was just on my toes for ages. Went down to Bournemouth, come back to London. You know, clearly he never found me. But what I mean is, despite myself, what happened was years later, I remember putting him on my first step four. And put in Bob, and then I put, and then right next to it, no fucking way. Make amends to him, no way. I think about 8 or 9 years ago, I got a, my daughter's told me that he had cancer, and he was terminal. And the minute I found out, I forgave him. It just went, do you know what I mean? And that would not have happened, you know, unless I was coming here. And I wrote him a card. I wrote him a card just by amends, you know, made my amends by card and just said, you know, I'm just going to remember the good times. He knows what he's done. I ain't got to tell him. You know, and I'm sorry to hear that you're really ill. And if you want to talk, I'm here, you know. That would not have happened at all, you know, if I was using. So that amends was made, you know. The amends made with my daughters, my family, you know. I mean, I hear it in meetings as well. You know, they go, oh, yes, I get my family back and blah, 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 which is all good. But then I've also had people that, you know, their best amends is to keep away from their family. I've had sponsees with that, you know what I mean? And it's like, actually, the amends to yourself is to keep away. So it's just, you know, this is why you need a sponsor to work through this stuff. For me, you know, I was always like the bastard of the family, do you know what I mean? And, you know, and my dad got diagnosed with kidney cancer. My mum had a stroke about 3 years ago, and she wound up in a nursing home. And who's looking after him? This bastard. I'm the only one that's going up there, do you know what I mean? And that's what I'm saying about the amends process. You know, so I just took my dad to hospital the other day. He's got an aneurysm as well in his stomach. So, you know, it's a ticking time bomb. We don't know how long he's got. You know, and my fear is, which is a valid fear, that I'll go around and he's going to be, you know, he's going to be dead, you know. But I'm just hoping he goes in his sleep and he don't fall down the stairs or whatever, you know. But it's really weird because I've been asked to do loads of chairs and I think I've had about 8 in the last couple of months. And my experience over the years has been when something like that happens, it's like my higher power's topping me up. Like I'm getting topped up to cope with like something. I'm not saying it's going to be catastrophic, you know, for whatever. And there's just a little part of me that's going, is this it? Because we went to the doctors the other day and he's got an aneurysm. Do you know what I mean? Maybe this is, you know, like just to get topped up. Because that's what I was saying. What I do is I forget. I forget that this is good for me. Tell me to do anything that's bad for me. I'll be like, yay, straight in, 2 feet, off I go. Do something that's good for you. And I'll be going, oh, don't know about that. I'll just have to think about that. Well, hang on a minute. Maybe today, maybe not today. And when I don't go meetings, that's when I go, you know, when my head says to me, nah, you don't need a meeting. That's when I know I fucking need a meeting. That's when I make myself go. You know, when I'm sitting at home, I've got a white sofa and I know I had about 3 days indoors and I had a white sofa and I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I went, and I jumped, literally jumped out of my skin. It was a fucking remote control, do you know what I mean? And I just thought, no, Rog, you need a meeting. I get to a meeting, do you know what I mean? It's like, there was nothing there. But then the paranoia kicks in, this is what I'm saying. And this is a progressive disease, which means it gets worse. Sorry to scare you, do you know what I mean? But, so that means I have to do more. I have to do more to combat it, which means go to meetings, you know what I mean? And I remember first coming into meetings and hearing people going, oof. When I first come round and I'd be like, oh, fucking murder, oh, it's terrible. When I felt, oh my God, poor woman that sponsored me. You know, and I'd come round and people going, I'm trying to give up smoking. I'd be going, oh, in my head, I'd be going, fuck off, what's the matter with you? I'm trying to give up crack, love, what's the matter with you smoking? Is that all? Do you know what I mean? Or someone going, I'm trying to give up sugar. What? Are you fucking having a laugh? I'm trying to come off the pipe, love. You're fucking moaning about it. I get it now. I get it. I get all of it now. Where I judge them, and do you know what? Every single time I've judged someone, let me tell you, I've done it, or I've come that close to doing it. Every single time, you know. And they go like, "Oh, this disease works in all areas of my life," right? And I remember thinking, "Scratch, scratch." What are they talking about? I didn't go treatment. So some of the words, procrastination, I didn't understand. Do you know what I mean? And no, so there's nothing I haven't done. You know, I'm not going to sit here and go, I've sailed on a spiritual carpet for the last 18 years because I'd be fucking lying, you know. And, and I remember actually sitting up here and I share it because I'm an addict and I do share it. And I just give, you know, when I first heard that woman talking about being sexually abused, I remember being in a Duncan Terrace meeting. I was 90 days, maybe a bit more, 90 days clean, 4 months clean, something like that. And a man was sharing, and as he was sharing, he was doing a chair, talking about he's straight, and he slept with men to get money to get his drugs. And then he shared about being sexually abused as a child, and I just fucking broke. It was just like, oh my God, that happened to me. And I was 38 years of age, and that had never left my lips. That was my secret. You know what this says, like, your secret keeps you sick? They do. They do. Even in recovery, when you're in recovery. You know, when you've got them little hidden secrets, I ain't going to tell no one about what I've done the other day. I'm not telling. There's a consequence, you know what I mean? And I always say to sponsors, do whatever you like, but just know there is a consequence. If I tell someone to do something, I know they're going to do it anyway. Do you know what I mean? So I don't go there. But there's always a consequence. So whatever you do, just be, you know, if you're willing to pay, get the payback, it's going to come back. Do you know what I mean? And I remember hearing that and being sexually abused. And I just started crying. And I just thought, oh, my God, you know, that was me. That was me. And I never had the courage or never had, you know, to be able to tell anyone. And that was, you know, recovery. And I'll never forget a guy sitting next to me. To this day, I don't even know who he is. And he put his hand on me and I was crying. And he put his arm on me and he just rubbed my shoulder. And he went, Roz, it's okay to cry. I was like, what? He said, it's all right to cry. And it was just like, it just allowed me to be vulnerable. And that was the first time I'd ever been vulnerable. I was with this psychopath for 18 years, didn't cry. Do you know what I mean? It's like, come in, fucking hit me, go on, go on, go on. Do you know what I mean? And I just allowed myself to be and have them feelings. And I just broke. And I started crying. And he said to me, this guy in the meeting went, just cry. He said, because the tears just water your soul. I never got that, but it always stayed with me. And I thought, oh, wow. I get it now, totally get it now, do you know what I mean? And so it's just all beautiful things that have happened to me like that over the years, do you know what I mean? There's no such thing as coincidences, I don't believe it. I could go on about it, but I'll be here for another hour, you know, and all of that, you know, when you're acting out and, you know, I'm going to share, at 10 years, it's funny because I share and blokes go, ooh, she's sharing about sex. You know what I mean? I remember doing a chair up here and Gary was taking the meeting and he was sliding because I was talking about watching porn and I could feel him sliding down the chair going, oh, fucking hell, is she sharing that? Yeah? Do you know what I mean? And the amount of women had come up to me after that meeting and went, Ross, thank you for sharing that. I'm not alone. I'm not on my own. Because we suffer with that. I'm different, don't we? Do you know what I mean? So, and I remember at 10 years clean and what happened was, you know, recovery, it's about taking a risk, isn't it? It's about taking a risk. You know, I told a mate of mine that I fancied him for fucking years, right? Bastard said no. Devastated, do you know what I mean? And it was only after, I didn't know it at the time, but it was only after I'd come out of this period that I looked at it, done the work, then I realised I acted out on the back of the rejection. So I got rejected by him, and what did I do? I found Tinder. Hello. I found plenty of freaks. Hello. You know what I mean? And I was having loads of sex at fucking 10 years clean. I mean, loads of sex, trust me. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, and the end of that as well. And I share it because I just think, fucking, I actually got asked to do a chair about sex from the Living Clean book at the UK convention. They asked me to do it because I was the only woman that was openly sharing about it. You know what I mean? And thank you, team. You know, and... you know, and I got asked to do that, and I just think, fucking hell, you know, we come in and we're fucking angels all of a sudden, hello, you know what I mean? I will do anything, use anything to fucking make me feel better, no matter what it is. And let me tell you, there's not a man, there's not a curry, there's not a pan note, there's not a fucking pair of trainers that's going to fix me, none, do you know what I mean? And that, you know, and I can use all of that to make me feel better. So at 10 years clean, there's me. A friend of mine's got a beautiful loft apartment over in Islington, and I'm floating around in this. I mean, it's huge. It's about the size of this. And I'm floating around making out his mind. Hello, darling. Then you come. Do you know what I mean? And having sex. And then just literally up going, oh, and they're going, am I staying? No. Staying. And literally, like, booting them out. Like, literally, I'm just using them for sex. Do you know what I mean? And then I'm online, and I remember one day this girl come online, and she went, hello. I know I'm not what you're looking for, but you're very attractive. I went, fucking, I was anxious to do before you die, Roz, go on. Now, bearing in mind, I'm straight. I was in the car within 5 minutes, driving out to meet this girl at Warren Street Station, right, for some sex. I'm straight, hello. Driving down to meet this Brazilian bird. I go, oh, hello. And then we get in the car. Come on, let's go and have a cup of tea. All right, we're going to have a cup of tea. Sit down. She sits there. And as I'm sitting there, I just remember thinking, what the fuck do I do with that? I ain't got a clue. And now what, Roz? Ta-da. You know what I mean? And then sitting there going, because it's fine, it's totally fine, but I'm just thinking, where do I want to be? There's her sitting there, and there's a couple of men over there, and I just thought, to myself be true, where do I want to be? And I thought, well, there, actually. And I just said to her, darling, this ain't, I'm straight, it ain't going to happen. Do you know what I mean? And she went, okay. And what happened was, I remember getting to that part, and I sat there, and I just thought, how the fuck did I get here? And how many times did I say that when I was using drugs? All the time. And what I'm saying is, I was using sex instead of drugs. That's the only difference. So when it says about that, you know what I mean? I've done all of them, the whole lot in recovery. Do you know what I mean? Every single one of them, you know. The only one I ain't been addicted to is fucking exercise. I'm still waiting for that one. You know, bring it on. Before it's too late. You know what I mean? But even that, joking about that, I remember going and going, like, oh, I'm going to have a swim. I haven't done no exercise for 3 years. Just be good to yourself, Ros. And I go swimming. Like, well, I'm not going to gym, I'm going swimming. So I'm swimming. So I thought, right, okay, Ros, come on, just do 10 laps, you know, just do 10 laps. All right then. So I'm in the slow lane and I'm swimming. I'm just doing breaststroke. I'm going up and down. And there's Granny in the next lane next to me. The competitive side kicks in, right? I'm looking at Granny, she's overtaking me. I'm like, fucking back off, bitch. So I start swimming, right? I get out, I look like Bambi on smack. I can't even move. My legs are like, I can't even stand up. I'm like, oh my God. And then I go back the next day and I do 20. I go back the next day, 30, 40, 50. I get up to 80 lengths and I'm obsessed. I'm looking at fucking swimming pools. What time does that one shut? Where does that one? I'm driving over to that one. And then I get up one day and I go into the swimming pool and I come out. I've swum for about an hour and 20 minutes. I can't even breathe. I'm like, my heart's going like that. My legs are going. I get out the pool and as I go outside, I went, oh, it's cold because it must have been winter. And I never went back. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I'm trying to say. That's me. I'm either all or nothing. And it's about finding a balance. And trust me, I'm still trying to find that balance today. Do you know what I mean? It's like I celebrated 18 years in May. And I look around and I think, how did I get there? How did I get to 18 years? You know, and hard work. That's how I got there. Fucking hard work. You know. For me, it's about, anyone that knows me knows that I share everything in a meeting. You haven't got to, you know what I mean? You've got a sponsor to do that. You know, for me, the therapy, wow. To be able to pick up the phone, you know, the therapeutic value of one edit helping another is without parallel. I've got a friend of mine, I've had the whole way through. And I would not have stayed clean if it wasn't for her. I've had three sponsors on the, you know, over the years. You know, and she is my fucking, I wouldn't have stayed clean without her. I can ring her up, I can tell her exactly what's going on in this fucking crazy head of mine. She don't judge me, she loves me, she tells me to come round, she gives me a cuddle, she gives me a hug. And that's what I'm saying about the love and the fellowship. Do you know what I mean? Find that one person. Find them two people. Find that group of people. Because when you're alone at night and your head's doing a number on you, you just know, when my head's alone at night, that's when I'm with the heart, my higher power. And it's like, please, God, just get me through tonight. I get up in the morning and I ring these people. These people don't want nothing of me. It's like my mates, you know what I mean? And it's really mad when I say coincidences. My dad got fucking diagnosed with cancer. So did hers. Do you know what I mean? And all through our using, it's just been, I mean, all through our, sorry, recovery, it's been like, whatever's gone on for her has gone on for me. It's just, it's crazy. It's like looking in a mirror. You know, my dad got diagnosed with cancer, so did her mum. You know what I mean? And we literally ring each other up and go, right, you go. And then she goes, and then I'll go, my turn. Do you know what I mean? And it's just like, oh my God, you know, because, you know, as I said, me alone in my head is fucking dangerous. I go dark. I mean, proper dark. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you want to see me in a car, road rage, let alone anything else. But, you know, I've had points where, you know, I've had times in my recovery, and I want to share this as well, because quite a few years ago, we started up the Over 8s meeting, and we got loads of stick for it. You know what I mean? I'm probably still doing, I don't care. And why? The reason we set that up was because at that time, there was a lot of people committing suicide. There was a lot of people that needed medication, and they wasn't taking it because they felt judged. You know what I mean? And we set that up because there was people with clean time that we've got to carry the message to the addict. That, what about us? What about the old timers? What about, you know what I mean? What about just sharing where we're at and being shown love as well? Because I've been that other person where I've gone, someone's 12 years clean when I was 1 year and gone, I don't, have you heard that one? I don't want what they've got. don't want what they've got. Do you know what I mean? It's fucking, it's crazy. So we set that meeting up, we can go there and I can just share whatever is going on for me. And that's the reason we set that up, because people were dying. They were taking their own lives. You know, there was a guy over in South London, didn't take his medication, felt judged because someone said it's using, you know, and he fucking hung himself. Do you know what I mean? There was another girl, 16 years clean, she hung herself. You know, there was another one, relapsed, dead. You know what I mean? Because they couldn't come in and share. And we've had in that meeting people coming in with a lump of clean time, talking about wanting to kill themselves, talking about what is actually going on for them. And it's not a doom and gloom meeting, it's actually a fucking really funny meeting. You know, but what it is, it enables us to be vulnerable. It enables us to, like, you know, not judge, just get on with it. You know, the things I've heard in that meeting is amazing. I don't know why I'm promoting it, but, you know, I just think that saved my life, that meeting, so many times. So what I'm saying is I share everything and anything, and that's what I was just getting back to, you know what I mean? And for me, it's like, share it out or act it out. You know what I mean? That's the only way I can say it. Share it out or act it out. And, yeah, you know, we've just come back from New York. There's a few of us out there. We went to New York. It was absolutely fucking brilliant, let me tell you. NA took over Times Square. It's like us lot taking over Trafalgar Square. We was on there dancing, coming in, you know, and it was just mental. And you're looking around, you think, you know, and even as I say it, I just know that was a special moment in my life. I will never forget that moment. It was incredible. Do you know what I mean? And it was like they took over at Times Square. They had microphones, they had all the literature at the front. They were just saying to addicts, come to the front if you've got a problem, come. Oh, I was crying. It's lovely, isn't it? Fucking in bits crying, dancing in Times Square. Incredible, blows my mind. I just come back from another convention in the south of France. Me and my friend went on the back of our amends. We had a little amends holiday. I fell out with her, two mad female lunatics. Fell out with her, and that's it. We made amends and we're back again. You know what I mean? You know, went on this holiday, and it was a convention in the south of France. We was the only two English-speaking people in this convention in the south of France. So the opening chair was Brazilian. It got translated from Brazilian to French and then French to English. We were sitting with a headphone, sharing headphones. Come on, that's getting shown love. Where are you going to get that out there? Fucking nowhere. Keep coming back.